did. Let's begin this morning with a little prayer. Good morning, Lord. What an amazing day it is to be with you. We're blessed to be here this morning. We were granted safe travels, good enough health. And we come to you this morning anxious to feel your presence and be motivated to do your will in our lives, that we may be better examples of your love. And as we move into the message this morning, we ask you to be here with us in this place, opening our hearts to receive more than just words, but inspiration to be more like your Son. We ask that your message lifts us, heals us, and brings us nearer to you. We pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a minute since I started off with something funny, so I'm going to give you just a little piece this morning. The pastor was preparing pancakes for her young sons when the boys began arguing over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw a wonderful opportunity to teach her sons. You know, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." So the youngest son turned to his oldest brother and said, "You be Jesus." This month, we are talking about the amazing God of surprises. And our Bible is filled with lots of wonderful elements of surprise to choose from. Moments where God, where Jesus left people with their jaws dropped. The Bible is an exciting book with exciting stories, many including the unexpected. And the unexpected begins the definition of surprise. An unexpected or astonishing event, fact, or thing. A shock. Something out of the blue. A bombshell. A revelation. Surprises can be a source of amazement, eye-opening, bewildering. They can fill you with wonder. But surprises are subjective. Everyone's opinion on them is going to be a little different. What surprises are good and welcoming? What surprises are bad or not welcome? It's all dependent on the person, on how they view surprise. Now, a recent survey said that the number one positive, welcomed surprise is to randomly find money. Now, I'm sure you can all relate to that. I can. You're switching your clothes over from one season to the next, and in a pair of pants or a jacket, you find a fresh $20 bill. Have you ever had that happen? And it feels so good. What a surprise. And Americans also express love for other surprises, too. Here's a list of a few of them. Surprise parties. Getting money back on our taxes. Engagements, proposals, and pregnancies. Unexpected visits from the people we love. Getting a new pet. A snow day when you were kids. Or canceled plans that give us free time. Yet many of the same positive surprises were listed in the reverse to describe negative surprises, like getting a bill that's higher than you expected, or owing money on your taxes. How about when your new pet has its first accident in your house on your brand new couch? How about when your heater breaks on the coldest day of winter? Or how about unexpected visitors that you aren't really excited to see? But surprise is a life guarantee. It's something we must take in stride, we must find joy in, and we have to learn how to roll with it. But there are also those surprises that we know are coming. For example, children, even some adults, Wake up on Christmas Day, excited to run to the tree to see what surprises are waiting for them. Parents of newlywed couples often anticipate the surprise of becoming grandparents. And sometimes we watch competition shows on the edge of our seat, just waiting to see the surprise of the winner. Some surprises are anticipated. They are surprises we can prepare for and expect. The start of the fall season really got me thinking last Sunday about a book and record combo I had as a kid. It was called It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Anyone remember that short film? I'm sure hoping so this morning, since it was released in October of 1959. It's been around a while, so I'm hoping some of you will remember that story. The story of the Great Pumpkin is a classic Peanuts tale focused on the thumb-sucking, blanket-holding Linus and his touching faith in the Great Pumpkin. In the start of the story, Linus is writing a letter to the Great Pumpkin, whom he believes will rise from the most sincere pumpkin patch on Halloween night to bring presents to all the good boys and girls. And as Linus writes his letter, everyone who passes him by says he's wasting his time. They make fun of his belief, they jeer him. Halloween night comes, and while all his friends are dressing for a Halloween party and trick-or-treating, Linus takes his place in the pumpkin patch to await the Great Pumpkin. The kids go trick-or-treating, passing by the pumpkin patch to mock Linus. After trick-or-treating, the kids all head to a party, again passing by the pumpkin patch to make fun of Linus again. Now, Charlie Brown's little sister, Sally, is the only one to defend him. And she misses the party to stay with him, but she doesn't have Linus's faith. She's not really there for the Great Pumpkin. And just as they're talking, they hear a rustling sound. A figure rises from the middle of the patch, and Linus is so overcome, so excited, so filled with anticipation, he faints. Now, we know from the story, unfortunately, the figure turns out to be Snoopy, not the Great Pumpkin. And when Linus comes to, Sally gives him an angry tirade and leaves him there to wait for the Great Pumpkin all by himself. Linus stays in that pumpkin patch all night long, and the Great Pumpkin never came. The next day, Charlie Brown and Linus reflect on the night's events, and Charlie Brown assures Linus that he's done his share of stupid things too. But Linus didn't believe he did anything stupid. And as the credits roll, he is giving it to Charlie Brown, vowing that next year the Great Pumpkin will indeed appear. Now, we could compare this Great Pumpkin to Santa Claus, or maybe even the Easter Bunny. But this morning, we're going to go a little bit bigger than that. We're going to compare the story of the Great Pumpkin to the life of a believer. A look at what our own lives look like as we await the greatest surprise of all time. Because, friends, we too must be sitting in the pumpkin patch. We too must be anxiously awaiting the greatest surprise, the promise, the victory, the second coming of Christ. Unlike the Great Pumpkin, Christ's coming is guaranteed. Jesus is coming soon. Linus had unwavering faith and focus. And I'm going to ask you this morning, do we? Lannis believed in a great pumpkin that no one else had ever seen, ever heard of, or ever known. Yet he had relentless, unwavering faith. Enough to sit in a cold pumpkin patch and wait with a big smile. And to the very end of the story, he was fighting for his belief. But to do so, Lannis missed all the fun. He didn't get to go to the parties or retrieve the candy or play with all of his friends. His idea of fun was something else. The reward of the great pumpkin, more fulfilling than any temporary satisfaction of the world. And his faith in its arrival, unwavering. Doesn't that hit home for us? How often does what the world is doing look a little better? Maybe it looks a little more fun. Maybe it's a little less work. Maybe it's easier than standing tall as a Christian. Why would we want to wait in a pumpkin patch where it can be cold, lonely, and ostracizing? Because that is where we belong. Ready. Ready in the pumpkin patch, focused and like Lannis, smiling the whole time. Matthew 24, 42 and 44. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming, but you know this. If the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting on him. Chilling in the pumpkin patch, ready to go. And Lannis believed in a great pumpkin. Lannis believed in a lie. He believed in a fairy tale, in a product of the imagination. We believe in a real, true, and mighty God. This is not a fairy tale. This is a historical God with an autobiography. Let's just spit a couple facts about the Bible. The Bible is not a children's story or a fairy tale. It's a book. It's a book written by real men in partnership with a real author who is God, telling the story of God and humanity. 66 books written by 40 different writers of a variety of backgrounds, 3 different languages on 3 different continents in a span of 1,500 years. With no historical errors or contradictions, and it all contains one common theme: God's love for humanity, his plan of salvation for our sinful souls, and Jesus' return. We are not a character in a cartoon with blind faith in a pumpkin. We believe in Jesus Christ, talked about in that book from Genesis to Revelation. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is a-coming at an hour you do not expect, to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Are we ready? Are we waiting in the pumpkin patch faithfully? Are we like Lannis in our unwavering welcome? Lannis was so committed to the great pumpkin, other people could see it. He even had someone join him. Are you contagious enough? Are you vocal enough, strong enough in what you believe to stand in the patch and welcome others to join you? Linus was made fun of, laughed at, belittled, and looked down on for his belief, but he stood strong. Will we? Will we take it on the chin when they make fun and persecute us for standing on the truth of Jesus Christ? Will we cower in shame or stand tall in pride? 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are we ready? Are you ready? Are you filled with faith, expecting Jesus, the greatest surprise of all time, waiting in the pumpkin patch, eager, inviting your friends? Because we must be ready. So ready. The surprise is coming, and see, here's the thing. We get a heads up on this. We don't have a date. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we get a heads up. Now, I'll tell you something about my mama. My mama is not a fan of surprises. This is not the person you plan a huge, shocking birthday for. Don't do it. I promised her many, many years ago I would never surprise her if I could help it. Even when I planned a giant 50th birthday party for her at my home, inviting a ton of our family and friends, I still gave her dozens and dozens of hints. And on the ride to the party, I text her so she knew she was arriving at her surprise party. There are no surprises. And see, we have that heads up too. This is not a surprise we don't see coming. We may not have a date, but we have a venue and we have a promise, and you better have your dancing shoes on. Right now, if the heavens parted and Jesus came back for you right now, are you going? Are you ready? Revelation 3:11, I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Whew. What a surprise. Now, I tell you, it sounds kind of scary to think of. Out of nowhere, a great roar of fire and a barren earth. But see, friends, when we know where we're going, and we're ready to get there, we realize real fast that there's nothing here for us to be scared of. This will be the greatest, most exciting, rewarding, blow-your-mind surprise you have ever had. And what that readiness looks like is so clear. The Bible gives us a map and lays it all out. There's only one description in the New Testament of the church Jesus is coming back for. It's not the richest church. It's not a leadership-driven church. It's not a powerful church. It's not even a relevant church. It's a holy church. What's a holy church? A church devoted entirely to God, dedicated to God's ways, holy. We must be a church. We must be souls that are holy, devoted entirely to God and God's ways, willing with unwavering faith to face persecution and be ready. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." We as God's people are the few. People need to come to Christ because Christ is coming back for his holy church. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. What a magnificent surprise. Aren't you excited? Are you ready? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word, your promise, and your coming return. We are so inspired to be ready for you. We ask that you help us to be ready. Prepare our minds, our hearts and souls, that our lives may give you glory as we await Jesus' return. Keep our eyes on you and the mission at hand and your Son. Keep our eyes on your Son. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we sing our last hymn this morning, I hope you'll sit with that question. Am I ready? No matter where you are in that question, I want you to know something. I'm here for you. Liz is here for you. And this whole pastoral team and this whole congregation is here for you. But the most important thing that you need to know this morning is that God is here for you. Right here, right now, he's ready to get you ready. If your faith is running low, he will fill up your tank just like that. If you're being persecuted and you feel alone, he's the best companion. He's ready to get you ready. Anyone who needs prayer, encouragement, or love, the altar is always open to you right here and right now, as are the doors of our offices and the doors of our hearts. So as we sing our last hymn, I want you to just really process that question. Are you ready?